Yeah, love is the message. I think that's a great song, and I think it's a great thing to think about. Hopefully, everybody got a copy of this little, it's not a test. I thought about giving you guys a test, but no, I'm just kidding. I hope everybody has one of these, because it goes along with my talk today. I'm very excited because I absolutely love this teaching because everything is always so in sync. And so when Doug was talking, we never know what each other is going to say, in case you guys wonder. We don't practice. We don't rehearse. We just show up, right? And when I saw him outside, he said, it's been a very, very interesting week. And I said, that is so true, but it's been a very interesting year. And for many of us, it's been a very interesting life. So at the end of the day, my talk title today is Truth versus Delusion. Truth versus Delusion. And the reason that I decided to, what inspired me to talk about truth versus delusion is the fact that on a daily basis, when I'm on the phone with a client, I'm a life coach, a sales coach, a trainer, and a business consultant, and people come to me with their problems, their issues, their stuff. They just need to move through something. They might be stuck. And a lot of times what I find is that people are definitely espousing what they think is the truth, but it's a misrepresentation of the truth or misinterpretation of the truth. So it's how they see things and how they feel about things. And they feel so adamant about what they're saying to me. But so many times I just am there to hold a space for them and to help them tweak the way they're looking at it. And so here in this teaching, we talk about the truth all the time. But I think people mean different things when they talk about the truth, right? There are different versions of the truth depending on who you're talking to. And so we've all heard the saying, the truth will set me free, right? The truth shall set you free. It's one of those things that you go, yeah! And then you're kind of thinking, that's poetic, but what does that really mean? Well, the truth will set you free. But what do we mean by that? And today, that's what I hope to do is shed some light on that. So we're going to talk a little bit about what is the truth going to free you from? What do you want to be freed from? Well, stress is one of those things we want to be freed from. Fear is another thing we'd like to be freed from. Worry is one of those things we want to be freed from. The stuff that keeps you up at night. What keeps you up at night? Other than a late night talk show host. It used to be Jay Leno in my day. I don't watch TV late at night like that. But for people who stay up late, I don't know what keeps you up at night is the thing that we want to be freed from, whatever that is that's got its grip on us. Because a lot of times we feel confused and we feel frustrated by the things that are happening. And how many of you would agree that we are living in very interesting times? Yeah. It is such the truth. It's very interesting. And it's rapidly changing time. So just when you were getting used to trying to wrap your mind around one thing, then something else shows up. So either it's some random act of violence at a marathon, at a nightclub, in a school, in a church, or it's Hurricane Katrina, Harvey. I always think Hurricane Steve Harvey, but that's not what it was called, but Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma. Then Doug talked about North Korea, war. Then you got the political scene going on. It's just a lot going on. So you got to hold on. I say hold on and joyride the universe, but you got to do that girding yourself with truth. But what is truth? What really is truth? Let's talk about that. So what is a spiritual truth? Since this is the center for spiritual living. So we're always talking about we're spiritual, not religious, right? That's what we say. It sounds good, and it works if you really know what you're saying. But what is a spiritual truth? Well, a spiritual truth is the truth about our divine nature. That's the truth about who we really are. A spiritual truth is the God essence of everything and everybody, whether it be a rock or whether it be a person or whether it be a pet or whether it be your car. It doesn't matter. There's a God essence in every single thing. And so the spiritual truth of lack is unlimited abundance, right? The spiritual truth of not being smart enough is infinite intelligence. And so we all have access to that spiritual truth, and that spiritual truth is true for us, but only when we sign on for it. Like you gotta enroll yourself in that. It's true whether you agree with it or not, but if you don't buy into it, it may not work for you. Another truth that I find myself constantly talking to my clients about is the relative truth, right? Do you guys know that when I hear somebody say, but it's really true, and they say it with such vehemence and so much conviction, and I say, tell me why you think that's true. And they give me their version of what they're saying, and here's what I say to them. That is a relative truth, meaning that it is from your own worldview. It's your own worldview that you are using, and you are applying your worldview to something else that happened based on your perception of what happened to you in your personal experience. So it's relative to you. It might be relative to whatever organization you belong to. It might be relative to whatever race you belong to. It might be relative to whatever culture you belong to, but it's relative. And since it's relative, that means that it depends on outside things for it to be true, and that things can change depending on region, depending on what part of town you're in, depending on so many outside factors. So there are external things that contribute to your relative truth. But because you can see it, you see it on television, you see it on social media, it's so real to you. So it feels like the truth, right? And it is the truth, but it's the relative truth. It's not absolute. Which brings me to the real deal. The real deal is what we call the absolute truth. And what is the absolute truth? You've heard it talked, referred to as the universal truth. But the absolute truth is something that's true regardless. It's always true. It's true at all times. It's true at all places. It's true no matter what the circumstances. It's true no matter who's saying it. It's the truth. Whether you like them or you don't like them, it's the truth. It functions independently of a person, independently of a situation, and it cannot be divided. And it feels good to you. When you hear the absolute truth, you just go, It's like taking a walk in the woods, right? So the mystics have left us with many truths that have been true from person to person to person. From Jesus to Socrates to Leonardo da Vinci to Buddha to whoever. All these mystics have given us these truths that are true no matter when it's happening and no matter who's saying it. So if we're going to talk about the truth, we also have to talk about fact versus truth. Because a lot of times people speak a lot of facts, but the facts aren't really the truth. So a fact, what is a fact? It's a fact. A fact is something you can point to. It's in black and white. You're looking right at it. You can even prove it. But usually what happens with a fact is over time it may not be true anymore. So is temporarily true? I mean, you're so sure about it, and you can see it, and you can touch it, and you can taste it, but it is going to change. And one good fact that you guys can remember is they used to say that the world was flat. I mean, I wasn't around when they were saying that. Long, 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 long time ago, it was believed that the world was flat. And then it was discovered that it's round, and maybe, who knows, we may find out that it's a rectangle later on or a triangle, I don't know. But the deal is facts change, right? And so we live our lives seeing so many things and interacting with life and not really distinguishing like, well, that's the truth. No, 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 that's the truth. No, 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 that's the truth. No, 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 that's really the truth. And so it can become confusing to really understand what the truth really is. One of the places that people often go and have gone to in the past to find out the truth is religion. But I say to you today, don't go there, because religion will have you a little bit confused about what the truth really is. And that's no diss to religious organizations, because they can work. As long as you have the bigger, greater understanding of things. And so religion is not synonymous with truth. That is what I would tell you. This is how I see religion now that I have a new understanding, is that religions are organized around a collection of beliefs that are generally static. You know, they say that's what it is, and that's what it is. They believe that All that needs to be known is already been revealed. There's no more. Period. The end. My mom is that way. I love her to pieces. But she's very, very, very religious. And when she says what she's saying, she is so sure that that is it. And she is not, you're not going to move her. You're not going to change her mind at all. And I get it. But that is why I consider myself spiritual. Because I believe in an open-ended, continuing revelation of spirit that is evolved as we evolve. Right? And so that's my personal spiritual truth. Religion has a slant on the truth that has left a lot of people with a lot of unanswered questions, you know. And with those unanswered questions, we tend to be a little bit confused about how we see life. And so today we're going to use a metaphysical lens, like a telescope, and we are going to look and see what is the truth for real? Like, what is the truth? So what is metaphysics? I mean, we talk about that. Oh, I'm in metaphysics. What does that mean? Well, metaphysics is a philosophy that encompasses everything that exists as well as the nature of existence itself. That's why I like it. It's just about everything, everything that exists, and it's exciting to consider. Aristotle called metaphysics wisdom, and I think it is. I think it is that great wisdom that we are looking for as truth seekers. Religious science, which was founded by Dr. Ernest Holmes, took a culmination of all the truths of all the religions and looked at the overlap, the cross-section of all the things that, where they agreed. And that is how this teaching was given birth. And also, it is something that can be proven. So that I like a lot. And if you're sitting here, you're probably somebody that likes that too. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're someone who likes that too. But living in interesting times like we are, it becomes really necessary to tune in to the truth and to remember the truth because, like Doug said, you can wake up some days and it can really hit you, especially if you're on your phone or on your computer and you're scrolling and you see one horrific thing after another. You know, it's just one thing. And you have to be careful about what your ears and your eyes sees because not always can your heart take it. It can be a lot. Sometimes it makes me cry. I stopped watching the news so many years ago because I would just be sitting there with a box of tissues. Like, geez, when are they going to say something nice? But you can't always sell nice things, right? So let's get to the matter at hand, truth or delusion. Everybody got their little piece of paper? You don't have yours? You can have mine. Okay. You need one too? Let me see if I have it. I think I have another one. I do. You are.
Thank you.
You're absolutely welcome. Okay, so the first one says, it's all God. Truth or delusion? Okay, I heard truth. You are correct. Everybody gets a gold star. We say that all the time in this teaching, that it's all God. Good Lord, we hear it all the time. God is all there is. All there is God. God is all there is. All there is God. There is none other than God. Doesn't it sound phenomenal? Like it feels good and all of that. We even have a song called One Power. I call it our theme song. I love it when Patrick sings that, by the way. But One Power, because that's what we say. God is, it's all God. God is all there is. There's only one power. But here is the question that I pose to you. If this is the truth, how do we explain hurricanes and child abuse and addiction and untimely deaths and divorce and disease and poverty and racism and discrimination and homelessness and famine? And what about war? Because this is, I was an only child, you can tell, because I'm in my head a lot. I'm still an only child, come to think of it. But the point is that that's a question to ask yourself. How is it that it's all God, and what is going on? What have you guys not ever thought about that? Well, I did. When I was in my first year of college, I took a philosophy class, and my instructor asked me that question, if there is a God, why do people burn up in fires or something, he asked. And I was so upset with him for calling me on the carpet like that because I couldn't answer the question, right? But now I got an answer for you. Doesn't that feel good? So I came here today for you to know the truth. That's what I came for. And the reality is this. This is how I'm going to explain it. I'll make it really, really plain and simple because we've all had those questions. So I want you to consider this scenario. There's the seed, there's the soil, and there's the outcome of what comes from the soil, the manifestation, the harvest of it. There is the seed, there's the soil, so there's cause, the seed is cause, then there's the law, which is the soil, and then there's effect. These three things are what we call the triune nature of God, right? So the reason everything is all God is because of that triune nature. Because God set universal laws into motion forever ago. And this is how things work. And because we are co-creators with the infinite, we are contributing to the effect. Make sense? So the reason there are all these things is because we got put in the equation. Go figure. We jacked it up. But when you know the truth, when you know who you are and you spend your time really tuning in to who you are and understanding that you are created out of the infinite, we can make it better. So humanity is evolving, right? We are evolving. And I submit that we're getting better and better with each generation. We are getting much better. But this is how you can understand that it's all God. It is all God. And it's something to think about. And sometimes when you find yourself on the phone with somebody trying to explain it, or maybe you have children and you're trying to explain something, it can get a little bit confusing when someone says, why is that happening? Right? Right? It is something to think about. And so it is all God. The triune nature of God is everywhere and it's always happening. And everything we see is an effect, right? It started from something that was intangible, something that was invisible, but it became something that we could touch. And the effect is the result of what's been put in law. Because when a seed is planted in the soil, there is an intelligence that happens. Something going on in the soil and something going on in the seed, and scientists still can't explain it today, why it happens that way. But the truth of the matter is, the law is just there to obey what we give it, right? So we have the choice to plant nightshade, which is poison, or we can plant candle lilies, which are flowers. Whatever we put in, the law is going to do what it does, right? And it's going to do what it does, and it's going to give us an effect. That is the reason it's all God. Make sense? Feel good? Yeah. So I came here to help you have clarity and understand. The next one says, God and I are one. Is that a truth or a delusion? That's a truth. There is not God and me. There's only God as me. Got it? There's not God over there and me over here. There's just God as me. We are one. But how many of us forget that? When you're thinking of yourself as fat and thinking of yourself as ugly and thinking of yourself as whatever you're thinking of yourself as, I beg to differ with you. How are you going to be one with the infinite and put yourself down? It's not cool. Don't do it anymore. I'm watching you. I'm serious because people do it all the time. I do it sometimes. Sometimes I forget. I forget a lot of times. But we don't like things about ourselves, but we forget that we are one with the infinite, the same creator that created everything. The solar eclipse, the magnolias that I smell every time I walk out of my door, the butterflies, the caterpillars, the whatever it is, We've been created by that created the stars and the moon and everything, and we have the audacity to criticize ourselves, and we're one with the infinite. I came here today to tell you to love yourself. You might as well. You stuck with yourself until it's over, right? You got to love yourself. A little humor. Be good to yourself. God is working through you, in you, as you. You are the hands and heart of God. And that's always true. You're one with the infinite. And the sooner you acknowledge that, you will live more peacefully, more joyfully. Jesus, the master teacher, said, I and the Father are one. That's what he said. So accept your oneness with Spirit. Accept your oneness with a higher power. The next one is, we are all one. That is a truth. That is an absolute truth. We are all one, but we are not all the same. Stop expecting people to be you, because thank goodness they're not. We need variety on this planet. We do. We need creative people. We need people who are type A's. We need people. We need all types of people. And so there we can have an appreciation. We are one, but we are not the same. We have black, white, and other races. We've got Republican, Democrat. Shh, don't say that. We have religious people, and we have atheists. We have rich people. We have poor people. We have gay. We have straight. We have foreigners. We have Americans. We are more alike than we are different. You know, and you know what? We all have the same basic needs and wants and motivations, and we have the same fears. Ever thought about that? The first principle of life is oneness. God is all about the oneness. That's why it's all God. We live in a universe that's all one, and it's all about the oneness. And the first performance of life is multiplying itself without dividing itself. So we're not divided. We're just different. And if we could just celebrate our differences, everything would be copacetic, as they used to say in the 80s. Maybe it was the 70s. There is diversity and multiplicity in the one. Our individual minds are in the one mind, right? There's one mind, and then our little minds are inside that mind. And we are all one because we participate in this pool I call collective consciousness. We're all swimming in it. Collective consciousness, race thought, we've all heard the phrases used before, but we're all in that same pool, right? And we might as well admit that we're all one because we're all in it together. So every thought that someone is having and every action that someone is doing is that pool, that collective consciousness. And so we are all connected in that way. Maya Angelou said it this way, I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me, right? I am a human being, so nothing human can be alien to me. She says the brute, the bigot, and the batterer are all children of God. Whether they know it or not, I am supposed to treat them accordingly. You can never say of a criminal act, oh, I could never do that, no matter how heinous the crime, because if a human being did it, we have the same components in us, and we contend that we could have done it too, given different circumstances. So at the end of the day, we choose to use our energies more constructively than destructively, but we're all one. And I say this because a lot of times we all spend time judging people and judging situations and judging groups of people and organizations. Judge not. Because we're all one. We really are. Start seeing your face in the face of someone else. And allow it to let you love others and to express compassion instead of judging. Because it doesn't feel good to judge somebody, right? You know what? People who judge people, the reason they do it is because they judge themselves. That's really what it is. And one day you won't be able to escape your own judgment. So start today. Stop judging other people and just love other people and realize that we are all one. And that's a beautiful thing. Sound good? All right. The next one is thoughts are things. Well, yeah, thoughts are things. We hear that all the time, especially from, I forgot his name, but thoughts are things. It's really a delusion. Thoughts are creative is a better way to think about it. Yeah, thoughts are creative. That's the reality. So the reason we say thoughts are creative is this, plain and simple. We have a thought, right? Thinking while you're driving to work, thinking while you're brushing your teeth, thinking while you're in the shower, just thinking. And then your thoughts turn into feelings. Think about it so much that you start feeling some kind of way. And then your feelings feel so real to you that you start believing the stuff you're feeling. Right? And then because you believe it so strongly, you start acting on it. And now you're acting on it and you get outcomes. So thoughts are creative. They're not things. Right? Because at the end of the day, every little thought you have isn't going to become a thing. Or I would be in a Maserati. I'm just saying. I've been thinking about that car for a long time. I have test driven it and everything, but it's still not in my driveway. So clearly thoughts aren't things. I'm having a breakup somewhere in there. Somewhere in there I'm not doing something right, but I'm going to get it. And when I get it, I'll let you know. Beep, beep. I'll be riding around so everybody can see. It'll be right here on this stage with me. Anyway, I digress. Thoughts are not things. Thoughts are creative. And it's important for you to understand that because even the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or a woman. Or whoever. Whatever you think in your heart, so are you. So that's how powerful your thoughts are. But your thoughts need a few things in the ingredients for them to become something. And that is two things, feelings and belief. Because when we feel something, you know how we feel something? We raise our voice. We get animated. We're moving around, shaking our head. We're doing a lot of things when we really, really feel something, and then it turns into a belief. They say we have about 70,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts. I don't know who measured it, what company, what organization took the time out to do that. But guess what? They also discovered that we think the same thoughts over and over and over. So whatever your mom said, your brother said, your ex-wife or ex-husband said, or somebody on the playground in the third grade, whatever they said is just running in your head. I am here to tell you to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And don't believe everything you think. How about that? You don't have to believe everything you think. You can put it on pause and say, do I really want to believe that? I don't think so. So you can put it on the side. So I encourage you today to approve of yourself, to love yourself, and choose thoughts that nourish you. If it doesn't nourish you, set it aside. The next one, it is done as I believe. It is done as I believe. Anybody? I heard truth down here. Any takers over here? It's actually a delusion. It is done unto you as you believe. So it is done as we believe. That's the problem with us thinking about things like war and politics and things like that. We think it's done unto us as we believe. No, it's done unto you as you believe. You have to own it, right? We don't get to just believe something and it affect everybody else. That would be awful. If I get to believe something for somebody over there and then they have to live it out, that wouldn't work. So for those of us who are control freaks, we think that is done unto us is done as we believe. No, it's done unto you as you believe. So what's important, and let me tell you why that sounds like a small little thing, but that's a big deal. Because a lot of people believe in prosperity, but not for themselves. They see it with the Kardashians and whoever else. You see it on television, you see it in all these places, but it's not in your life. Some people believe in love, and they see couples everywhere. They got pictures around their house of people together. But for some reason, they don't believe it's possible for them. If you don't believe it's possible for you, it's not going to happen for you. That's the beauty of what we know. That's the beauty of the truth. At the end of the day, what's great about the Creator is that the Creator has given us the power of choice. And so I get to choose what I want. You get to choose what you want. I don't get to choose for you. You know? Make sense? Yes. So it is done unto me as I believe. And a belief is a mental acceptance of something, something you feel a conviction about. The scripture says that all things are possible to him that believes. So I would tell you to take some time to start thinking about what you believe. Because at the end of the day, if you have negative childhood memories, they show up as negative beliefs today. And you don't even know you have them until you're really wanting something and it's not showing up in your life and you can't figure out why. Why can't I get this right? I've got that right and that right and that right, but I can't get this right. You have to examine what your beliefs are about men, about women, about aging, about love, about money, about success, about having fun. What do you believe about your body? What do you believe what do you believe about anything that relates to you that's important to you? Did you know that most of the stuff that we believe, that we adopt as a belief, happens as early as the age of 5? And we kind of live the rest of our lives based on that. Next one. What we give out, we get back. Truth or delusion? A truth? Did I hear truth? Delusion? Which one? Truth? Okay. So the reason I raised that one is because I get this one a lot with clients. People are always talking to me about the golden rule. The golden rule has kind of tripped us up a little bit, right? The golden rule says to treat people the way you want to be treated. And that is something that I definitely subscribe to. But that's more a morality issue. Just because you treat somebody a certain way doesn't mean that they're going to treat you the same way, right? You see how it gets a little dicey? We're like, well, I was really good to this person. The other day, I heard a person talking about 2 weeks ago, and he said, I am so good to my partner. I'm always doing this and that, and I just don't get it because they're not doing the same thing for me. What's up with that? And I said, no, I didn't say anything. I just listened because he hadn't signed up with me as a client yet. So I didn't say anything. That kind of information costs money. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say anything. But what I was thinking, and I would have said if he had called me and swiped his card, no, I'm just kidding. What I would have said is that we don't always get what we give. And I'm going to tell you guys why we don't. First of all, we teach people how to treat us. So if I'm not loving me, but I'm loving you to my own detriment, what I'm teaching you is the same thing. I'm teaching you not to value me because I don't value me. I'm teaching you that my time doesn't matter because I'm telling you that my time doesn't matter because I'm making time for you and I'm not making time for myself. So what people typically do, especially in intimate relationships, is we treat people, they reflect to us what we're doing to ourselves. And it's a hard thing to swallow sometimes because you're like, I did this and I did that, and they just walked all over me like I was a doormat. Well, you presented yourself as a doormat, so they just followed suit. So we teach people how to treat us. You're not going to always get what you give because if you don't give it to yourself, then nobody is going to imitate you by giving it to you. They're not going to give it to you for you. So we can only love others to the degree that we can love ourselves. And conversely, we can only receive love from others to the degree that we can love ourselves. Make sense? That little fine little tweak can save a lot of relationships. If you want something from somebody, give it to yourself. And I promise you, they will emulate you every single time. Yeah. We don't always give back. And the other thing is, we don't always get back what we give because we're not always receptive. Some people are always talking about being a giver. I'm a giver, I'm a giver, I'm a giver. But it's also important for you to be receptive. You got to teach yourself how to receive. If you don't know how to receive love, then you're not going to have it. And so the golden rule kind of trips people up because we think if we're just doing good, that the good is going to come back to us. And that's really just a morality issue. Last one. God is my supply. Is that a truth or a delusion? That is actually a delusion. Let me tell you why. You know I had to throw some delusions in there. God is not our supply. Now, let me tell you, I really had to think about this one, and I did a lot of research on it. Let me tell you why God can't be your supply. Because God can't recognize needs, or God wouldn't be God. If you had a need, what would you be saying about God if God says that God is all there is, and all there is God, and we know that God is good, and God is prosperous, and abundance, and opulence? Then how is God going to be saying, oh my goodness, they need this? It doesn't add up. That's when we're giving our personal attributes to God. Well, God's not a person. Remember, religion taught us that, but metaphysics teaches us otherwise. So God is not a person, so God doesn't have personality traits. So God is not our supply. Well, let me tell you how it works, because God doesn't fulfill needs. Our job is to acknowledge God as source and to awaken to the presence, right? We just got to wake up to what already is. Our needs can be provided for us, but not in the way that we think about it. If God could fulfill a need, it would be done. And I always say what God can do, God is already doing. That's something to think about. Source cannot express itself through a need, or it wouldn't be source. It does not act through a consciousness of lack. What is required is a consciousness that is focused upon God. So here's what the truth is. God is my source, and my awareness of God is my supply. God is my source, and my awareness of God is my supply. That's how your supply shows up. Your consciousness has to be lifted and on God, and then everything you need will be given to you. How are we going to say God is all-knowing and we feel like we got to tell God what's wrong? That just doesn't add up. Seriously. Something to think about. I got you thinking, right? You didn't come here this morning for all of that. Emmett Fox says it this way: don't focus on the problem, focus on God. That's the net. If you focus on God, then your needs will always be met, because God already knows that what it is that you don't have. When you focus on lack, you get lack. Because what we focus on expands, right? We've heard that before. Here's the truth. There is never a time when God is not source, ever. And so you've heard that phrase, seek ye first the kingdom. That's what that's about. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first God. Ask for God, not for God, and watch things change. Keep your mind on God. In conclusion, here's what I will say. That when you are thinking about the absolute truth, not your relative truth, but the absolute truth, about any situation, whether it is dealing with the weather, or whether it is dealing with war, or whether it's dealing with violence, or whether it's dealing with some heinous something that has happened on the planet, ask yourself the question when you're having your own feelings about it: does it bring peace? Does it bring joy? Does it bring community? Does it leave you with a sense of love? Does it leave you feeling light? Does it leave you feeling hopeful? Is it bringing life to all its fullness to the situation? But if it's got you going around in circles, if it's keeping you up at night, if you're struggling in despair and darkness, if it's taking you away from other people, where you're judging people based on race, color, sexual orientation, or whatever you may be judging people about, then I want you to realize that that right there is not the absolute truth. The absolute truth feels good. It does. It feels so good through and through. I mean, I think about, reflect on the absolute truth all the time, no matter what's going on television, no matter what's happening in social media, no matter what's happening. And I tell you what, social media makes everything seem like it's so much because you see it everywhere. It's on Twitter and Instagram. And you guys have got to give yourselves, if you're not doing this, have some time when you can do social media and then have some time when you take a walk in the woods. You got to balance it out because it can be overwhelming to just constantly see the things that you see, and it can make you think it's the truth. Today I came to tell you to help you understand the truth, because the truth will set you free. The truth is freedom just by it being the truth. But we got to tune in to the absolute truth, not your relative truth. When you see a person getting beat down by a police officer and it just seems like it's so much injustice, back away from that. Instead of sharing it, don't share that video with nobody. Delete it. That's what we do without thinking. And then we want to know why we're up at night worried with anxiety and fears and feeling hopeless about humanity. Don't pass that information on. It's toxic and it's dangerous. Don't perpetuate that. Stand in the truth. Ernest Holmes said one person standing in truth is a majority. So stand in your truth. Today, we can choose to learn the truth. We can learn to understand the truth. And we can enjoy the benefits of living in the awareness of truth. And the truth really will set you free. I promise you that. With all that's going on in the world, go inward. And that's where God is. Because remember, you guys told me that God and you were one. And I believed you when you told me that, because it's actually the absolute truth. And so I encourage you to stay true, to be free. And I thank you for being here. I am complete. Okay, let us pray. Give you a minute to get comfortable in your seats and to sit up straight and to take some deep cleansing breaths. I invite you to close your eyes just because it allows you to avoid any distractions. Place your feet flat on the floor and breathe. Just take a deep breath because it has been a long week. You know, as a licensed practitioner, I am a knower of truth, not merely a believer. And so at this moment, I invite you to know the truth with me. Continue to breathe as you hear the sound of my voice, and take these words for yourself, and anything that does not sit well with you, you can sit it aside. But let's just stand firmly in knowing the absolute truth today. What we know is there is only one mind. There's only one source, one power, one presence, and it is all there is. There's nothing else. There is none other. The presence of spirit is everywhere, and it's in everything, and it's in everybody. This presence is expression itself by means of me and everyone else. I am free to choose to remember the truth of my being at all times, and I accept that knowing this truth sets me free. Today, let us vow to continue to learn the truth, to speak the truth, to live the truth, the whole truth, the absolute truth, the universal truth, that spiritual truth that is nothing but the truth, the real deal. And let us remember that the truth does set us free. We are aware this morning that God is all there is, that we are one with God, and that we are all one. We know that our thoughts are creative. We know that it is done unto us as we believe, and that what we give, we can receive as long as we are receptive to it. We know that God is our source, and our awareness of God is our supply. And we are ever grateful to know these truths and to be free to live peacefully, joyfully, harmoniously. We embrace the truth of who and what we are. We are knowing that we are happy and successfully living. I am knowing for you spiritual freedom in this moment. May the truth set you free. You are free to be free. This is the truth in my life, and this is the truth in your life. Together we agree and say, and so it is.